Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone. This is stuff your doctor should know, and it's been a while. It's been a minute or two since I last recorded and posted, because so many wonderful and crazy and amazing things have been going on, and I haven't really had a chance. A lot of wonderful things with Ona's, and we're growing really quickly, and that's exciting. But also with my website, and I'll talk about that after this, at the end of this show. But this episode is exciting. I know a lot of you have been waiting on pins and needles for me to get this out, because it's all about all the tests that I took, the different labs. For those of you that are brand new and you might just be listening to me for the first time, I did kind of an experiment with my own self, as I always do, which was, basically, I have just arrived into menopause for the first time and hopefully the last time. So menopause is usually marked by not having a cycle, not bleeding for a whole year. And so I had that from April to April, and then May, June, July, August. So I was 4 months into menopause when I decided to do this experiment. And part of the experiment was also including doing Kitty Bloomfield's program. That was kind of just a coincidence. I did it at the same time, and it just happened to be, it all fell in line together. And it was really, a very lucky thing that I did that, because I was able to see the changes in my body via labs based on, the work I had been doing with Kitty Bloomfield and my coach, Nyssa. So let's first start with what the experiment was, along with people like Georgie Dinkoff and others who are showing that menopause is not a state of low estrogen, and that it's actually quite high estrogen state, but that the estrogen is actually in the tissues and not in circulation where we would like it to be. And that this is playing a big role in going in to see your medical practitioner, your doctor, and they see that your labs are low in hormones and other in estrogen, and then they supplement you with these hormones, and then you feel better in some ways, but then you're still dealing with all of these things like muscle wasting and fatigue and mood swings and hot flashes. And a lot of women will go in to see their medical doctor because they're having issues, perimenopause and menopausal issues like vaginal dryness, painful sex, hot flashes, exhaustion, insomnia, weight gain, insulin resistance, bone joint pain, foggy headedness. Those are all signs of menopause, along with about 15,000 other ones. But those are the main ones. And a lot of women will go in and they'll take their labs and they'll take their blood lab or their urine lab or whatever lab. They'll take it and they'll say, oh, well, you've got really low estrogen, and that's really normal because you're in menopause or heading into menopause. So we're going to give you estrogen. And they don't even sometimes offer progesterone, although now it's starting to be the case that they are giving them both. So here you get on the estrogen, and all of a sudden your vaginal dryness is gone, and of course isn't painful anymore. Maybe you are have a little bit more libido, or maybe not. Anyway, things seem to be better. And you're like, oh, thank you for saving my life. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. You'll have to pry this estrogen out of my cold, dead hands before I'll let it go, thinking that it's the estrogen that made everything right. And in reality, what's happening is you're still adding estrogen to the tissues. Yes, it's in circulation and it's taking care of some symptoms, but now you're still dealing with weight gain and insulin resistance. Some of you are going into pre-diabetes and even diabetes, becoming diabetic. You're still dealing with the insomnia. So it's not taking care of everything, but we think, well, we don't have these other issues, and so it's okay. Well, everyone was so gracious to donate the labs most of them to me to do this, which was to take a blood lab, a blood spot lab, a Dutch urine dried lab, a 24-hour urine lab, and Georgie Dinkoff's tissue analysis. So for those of you that don't know, Idea Labs has a test that is like a hair mineral test analysis, but it's either hair or nails. But in my case, we used hair, and we used my hair, and it measures, and it's very good technology. And I will link the study, the very large, robust study that was done on a group of women in China with this lab, showing that they had very low levels hormones in their circulation and very high levels in their tissue. Okay, so I took all these tests. I got off of all of my hormones. Okay, can you imagine that? I wasn't on that many, but I was on progesterone, and that was a big deal. I'd been on it for years and years and years. I had taken a few breaks here and there, and I certainly came down in dose from what I used to be on. So zero hormones. And then I had also started Kitty Bloomfield's 16-week accelerator program, which is basically boosting your metabolism through and supporting healthy metabolism through heavy weightlifting 3 times a week. For me, I was walking at least 10,000 steps a day. And then, I'm still doing the whole program. I'm done with the 16 weeks, but I've continued on everything because it's been so tremendous. And then counting my macros, right? Tracking how much protein, fat, and carbohydrate I'm consuming in one day. And then my weight and my measurements. It was a full on, I was like a guinea pig. It was amazing. And okay, so let's start with me getting off all the hormones. I was fine for about 10 to 15 days. And then the hot flashes came. And the insomnia came. And that was the most frustrating, because I was, as you know, those of you who suffer with it, just took me 2 hours to fall asleep. And then I would wake up and have to go to the bathroom. And then I would wake up and be craving sugar. I would be starving. And I would get up and like ravenously eat an orange. Just ravenous. So frustrating. Poor sleep. Even when I was asleep, it was super fussy. Just frustrating, very, very, not a high quality of life. And that happened really fast. And then I started to get into the program, the working out. I was probably about a month in when I started to notice that I was hungry, normal hungry, not like ravenous in the middle of the night hungry. The hot flashes started to go away by themselves. Okay. So all of my symptoms slowly started to go away without hormones, without doing any radical supplementation. I was just doing just very limited sort of like in my supplement routine. I was relying on my food intake, which by the way, was really difficult for me because I'm an under eater and I'll overeat carbs and fat as most of us do. But even so, still under eating my calories, I was not getting enough calories. And this is a big deal. Okay. I can't stress this enough for everyone. I'm telling you, my head exploded when this happened. And I want everyone who's listening to this to write it down. You might think you're a big eater. You might think that you love food. Most women, this is most women, are under eating and eating out of balance. So you might be eating way too many calories, but the calories don't include enough protein. So you're overeating the wrong foods and under eating protein. And then you're not eating enough for the day, your caloric intake, a lot of women. And that's like a something you have to track. Unless you grew up doing this, or you did, you know, as an adult, you've been doing it because you're an athlete, or maybe you've just always done this, but most people don't do it. And so you have no idea. I'm telling you right now, you have no idea how much you're under eating and eating out of balance. I was shocked because I eat really healthy, but I was not eating enough. And your liver can't excuse me, your liver cannot convert your thyroid hormones into usable thyroid T3 without enough protein. Without enough protein and without that T3, you can't convert and make healthy hormones. You can't make testosterone. You can't make estrogen or progesterone. You'll make estrogen, but the thing with estrogen is it's so potent that even when you have a little bit of estrogen, it can still cause problems in your body, especially, and you know, I say this all the time, if it's unopposed by progesterone, if there's not enough progesterone to keep it in balance. So you're not making these hormones. You're not making enough of them, even though you feel like you have too many hormones. So this was probably the biggest mistake I've made throughout my whole entire life, is under eating for my needs. Now, yes, I made other mistakes like being on the birth control pill for too long. So that is my biggest lesson. And then it's funny enough, you know, I've never, and I know I've said this a million times, I've never been a lover of working out. I like being active, but I've never had a discipline when it comes to working out, and to my own detriment. I mean, that's another thing that I want you young women to write down. If you don't love working out, figure it out. Figure it out. Learn to love it. Learn to love it. I'm telling you that right now because you will hit perimenopause and it will be like a brick wall. It was so hard for me. And this is me who have committed to being a gut health expert and doing all the things, eating right for over 20 years longer. And here I was, you know, it was like a brick wall. And then menopause was like another brick wall. It was just a bunch of brick walls, guys. Okay, so that was the big awareness, a big wake-up call for me, a big true aha moment was, wow, I am really under eating. I'm eating out of balance. I don't eat enough protein. I eat the wrong kind of carbohydrates. I eat the wrong kind of fats. I eat way too much PUFA, polyunsaturated omega-3s, and not enough of the saturated fats that I should be getting, and totally out of balance. I was an overeater of fat in a big way, which is not good for women who have liver issues, gallbladder issues, hormone imbalance. Your liver is going to take a hit with that PUFA and those bad fats. Okay, so then the other thing is the resistance. So I wasn't a big fan of working out, and it turns out that the working out was kind of the easiest part for me. So I didn't love working out, but I learned to love it. And I really do. I wouldn't say I love it. I just am appreciative so much now. Now I understand how to work out. I understand that in the past, when I did work out, I was overtaxing my body. I was doing way too much cardio. I was putting myself in a fight or flight adrenalized state. And with Katie Bloomfield's program, it's slow, heavy, precise, low reps. So I'm doing like 6 to 8 reps of really heavy weights, heavy for me, and not overdoing it. I wasn't wrecked for days. I wasn't exhausted. I wasn't needing to take a nap during the day because I had done too much. So it was really, really nourishing for my body. And, you know, lifting those heavy weights stimulates bone growth. It stimulates immune cells. It stimulates hormone production, testosterone production. So these are really important things. And then, of course, if you're working out, then you've got to feed your body more. And I was getting hungrier, so I was feeling the need to eat and staying in the pro-metabolic world with my food choices. I can't really do too much dairy, I learned. I was doing very little dairy, goat milk, but you know, you have to find your happy place with these nutrient dense foods. Not everybody can do all of the PD pro metabolic recommendations. So you have to find what works for you now. And so that's what I did. I found the things that work for me. Turns out that, you know, sugar is actually really, really helpful for me. I can do table sugar. I do organic cane sugar and I put it in my tea or my decaf coffee. And that was really helpful before the gym because once your adrenaline spikes, you're in fight or flight. You do not want that to happen. So, sugar is a great way to avoid that. It's quick glucose. I know this is making people's heads explode, but in the group we talk about this a lot, and it's a quick brain food. It's instant. And if you don't have that quick brain food and you think a green smoothie or a protein bar is going to get you there, it's not, at least not for me. And so if I can't utilize, get that energy to work out or even just to get out the door, if I can't get that energy, you're going to use your adrenaline. You're going to use your cortisol. Now you're in emergency hormones. Now your thyroid is downregulated. So these things are so important. Now, I'm not saying go out and eat sugar all the time. I'm barely getting like a tablespoon in a whole day of sugar, or I'll put some on my oatmeal. It's in balance. That is the key. All of these macros, the protein, the fat, the carb, the healthy carbohydrates have to be eaten. If you think about a pie chart and you think about the percentages, you always hear people say 30, 30, 20. You have to find what works for you. I couldn't do as much fat. I couldn't do the 30% fat. I couldn't do it. I have to do lower because my liver needed some support with metabolizing fat. Okay. And then it was a month, a little over a month. And on the same day, I did all of the tests. You guys, you know how fun and hard that was. So I had to wake up in the morning and go get the blood lab. And then I had to immediately following do the blood spot. And then I had to, the night before I had started the Dutch, and then I had to do the 24-hour urine collection. So from the day before all the way for 24 hours, collecting all of your urine in a big bottle, and then separating them out into little vials and sending them off. So I had all these labs that I had done. It was pretty cool. And then I did the hair sample and sent that off. Now the hair sample is not, you're not gauging your 24-hour hormones or your hormones in the moment from the hair sample. The hair sample is 3 months. Okay. So 3 months of my levels in tissue. So normally my levels in the past through blood labs and the Dutch have always been undetectable. I've always had very, very low levels of estrogen and all hormones. But in 1 month of doing the pro-metabolic diet, well, I had been doing that for a little longer, and but 1 month of heavy lifting weights 3 days a week and walking 10,000 steps a day, and I actually had normal, almost normal levels in some of those labs, except for the blood. The blood was still extremely low, which was interesting. And Georgie has a lot to say about that. But basically, just that time I spent with weightlifting and walking had increased my estrogen, my testosterone, all of my progesterone into normal levels, almost normal levels. So that was really exciting. Now get this. This is when it gets interesting. The tissue test showed that I had 100 times higher estrogen in my tissues than normal. 100 times. That's 100 times more estradiol and high levels of everything. It was unbelievable. Even progesterone, which is cool because that means that maybe the reason I don't have breast cancer and the reason I have, am really fit in my for my age is because hormonally fit, I should say, to some degree, is because of the progesterone is in my tissues, opposing the estrogen. These are guesses right now. I'm guessing that's what's going on here. So that is really shocking, to a lot of people. So what do you do with someone like that? What do? You're going to give them more hormones? That's crazy. To put someone on estradiol because when I have 100 times more estradiol in my tissue than I should. Now, this doesn't mean every single woman has high levels in their tissues. That's not what this means. I do. And it's probably pretty common. I suggest, if you want to give Georgie Dinkoff's test a try. You should check that out. The link is in the show notes. And also the link for Kitty Bloomfield's program. Although, you know, you could take her free 7-day program and see how it goes. And if you feel like you need more help, you can do it. But I really needed help. I really needed that guidance. And, you know, so I saved for it. We budgeted for it and I did it. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. So now in retrospect, so Georgie's super excited and he wanted me to send in my nails now too, just to make a correlation. And then we want to do a Zoom call and a podcast with all the doctors that participated, including pharmacist Carol Peterson, to talk about it and to talk about what they think. And then, of course, the big question is, what do we do about it? How do we get those hormones out of our tissues and into circulation? And if we can correct these by boosting our metabolism through walking and weightlifting and calming our bodies down, gosh, that is a huge one. If we can bring balance in that way, how awesome. I just want to encourage everyone to pursue the core, the root causes. And the root causes are, we're a machine. We're a divinely created, beautiful machine that needs fuel, the right kind of fuel in balance to function. And you need to be able to be active. We were designed to be active and lift things and squat things and pick up things. Like, that's the human design. We were designed to do these things. We were not designed to sit at a computer or on a sofa for hours and hours and hours. You know, I encourage you, if you are physically able, to even just start really, really slow and low, and just, I can't encourage it enough, really. You know, and then we have the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy to help us when we need it, right? So people are asking me, well, what if you had low levels of estrogen in your tissues? Then I would totally consider supplementing. I would consider supplementing estriol, which is the weakest hormone. I would consider it. But, you know, even in my Dutch and with all my low levels, I still showed that I was favoring the 16-OH pathway, which is the unhealthy pathway for estrogen to travel. It's the pathway that creates, that grows things, not good things. It's the pathway that, you know, is not healthy. So even in my low levels of estrogen, I was still favoring unhealthy pathways. So then I'm going to take it. I'm going to take some patch, and then I'm going to what? Push it down the 16-OH pathway. And then I'm going to, oh, yay, my hot flashes are gone. And now I have diabetes. No, you know, I don't know. That's not how my brain works. I want to get down to the root cause. So that's why I did this test and why I wanted everyone to listen and hear me and just, you know, take it. It's information. That's it. I make the, what is it? What is it, Charlie? I make the recommendations. You make the decisions. I have a nice little surprise and treat for you, which is that, after I shut my fat mouth right now, Georgie Dinkoff and I are going to talk. I have a disclaimer in the show notes, and I have a disclaimer before this podcast begins, and that I actually speak it out, which is that his tissue analysis tests are in no way meant to diagnose any kind of disease, disorder, even imbalance. It's just information to show you what's in your tissues. That is it. I would not rely on this if you suspect you have cancer or you're trying to avoid because it's in your family or whatever. I would not rely on this test for that. None of that. I would seek out medical professionals to get that information or that advice and guidance. And this test is purely for educational purposes. And just so everyone knows, this was a phone call between Georgie and I. This isn't a proper podcast. And so I edited it quite a bit. So it's very choppy. So you're going to notice a lot of that in the podcast. Just ignore it. But yeah, so once again, let's welcome back one of our favorites, Georgie Dinkoff.
Let's start with the hair, if you don't mind. So so pregnenolone is elevated, but not by much. That usually means it is like that, and there's no supplementation. Progesterone is very high. I mean, values like this can only come from supplementation. So I'm guessing
that's interesting because I hadn't been on progesterone in a month. I got off all hormones to take all of these labs. So right. This is showing that it's collecting in my tissues.
Yeah, but how much, like, how long was the hair that you sent us? Because I didn't look at a sample.
Oh, yeah, it was like 3 months. It was long.
Okay.
It was
yeah, so
long.
So if it's 3 months, then it's going to cover the period, even though you stopped for a
of
month.
Of course.
It's,
okay.
It's covering the other one. So it's, you know, with 15,000, that's definitely, and also the 7-dehydroxyprogesterone is elevated. We usually see that when there's a lot of progesterone supplementation. And the 6-ketoprogesterone is also elevated, and that usually happens only two cases, either actually three, last trimester of pregnancy, because that's when it usually happens naturally, person taking 6-ketoprogesterone or person taking progesterone. I'm guessing okay. You're the last case, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
And let's see. Yeah. So DHEA elevated. Are you taking DHEA?
No. No.
Never.
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 No. Wait, let me think for a second. I mean, I took T-Boost, but honestly, I didn't like the effects. Like, it was so strong and I mm-hmm. was getting like chin hairs right away. So I probably took it for like 10 days. And that was like over 3-4 months ago.
Okay. So, but the T-Boost did have DHEA in it, right?
Yeah, it is okay. DHEA. So yeah.
Yeah. So if it was a couple of months ago, that would have taken, it's not as high as we would see from people that are taking it currently. But these levels can only come from supplementation.
Okay. So then
and
that
I seem
little
to remember
bit.
You also took testosterone. So testosterone is elevated, but taking testosterone can also elevate DHEA. So that could be another reason why the DHEA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then, epitestosterone is also elevated, but that's usually seen in people who take testosterone. So basically, the results like this suggest supplementation with progesterone, maybe a little bit of DHEA, and definitely testosterone, because the value, especially for females,
yeah,
it's way over the range, so can only come from supplements. I mean, like from taking exogenously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all estrogens are high, which is common when testosterone and or DHEA are above range. But I haven't looked at your blood results, but you said over there that the estrogens are low.
Oh yeah, like almost undetectable.
Yeah, so that kind of shows you that the whole blood testing thing is crap, basically.
And I have not taken any estrogen, of course, because I've been concerned about this.
And then thyroid T4 and T3 are low, and you know that's, you know, consistent with hypothyroidism. You know, I mean, they're not that low to be clinical hypothyroidism, but I would say subclinical. I mean, if without looking at your TSH, I would guess it's probably in the 4 to 5 range. So yeah, I mean, I would, based on these results, I would definitely try to address the thyroid, because, you know, especially since this is like a longer period covering test, you know, thyroid levels, both T4 and T3, to be below the normal range, we're seeing all kinds of symptoms of hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
Because you know yourself better. So obviously you would know if you're cold, if you're like have brain fog, easily fatigued, easily irritable, stuff like that. I mean, progesterone can mask some of that and the testosterone, but then they're not going to take care of the low T4 and T3.
Well, what about this? Is it possible that all of this exogenous BHRT is just not being utilized because my thyroid is hypo? So it's all going into tissues, because I'm not getting the benefits of these testosterone levels. Let me tell you that right now. Yeah.
It's not going to help you if thyroid is low. I mean, many men actually who go on TRT, if they're older, right? They're saying, oh, I don't have libido anymore. My muscles are gone. I'm gaining fat, etc. So they're getting these testosterone injections, and sometimes it helps for weight control. More often than not, it doesn't. And when it doesn't, the cases that I've seen and the studies that I've seen published is invariably these men have low thyroid function as well. Now, of course, the low testosterone is kind of like a result of the low thyroid.
Right.
So if you're taking testosterone, it may cover some of the symptoms that, you know, you're having, but it's not going to cure it, certainly. And of course, as soon as you stop it, you're going right back to where you started.
Well, I'm converting it. I'm aromatizing it ASAP. Like it goes right into estrogen.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
So if all three estrogens are high, this is not a fluke. It means tissue estrogen is elevated.
Okay.
So Yeah,
Okay.
I would definitely try to address the thyroid because I think from that everything else, I mean, at least the high estrogen should normalize, and then the it should also prevent to a degree the conversion of testosterone and DHEA into estrogen because I'm sure these are feeding into estrogen at least a little bit. Whenever T4 and T3 are low, any exogenous precursors you're taking like DHEA or testosterone are going to go towards estrogen. While in a you know with normal thyroid function, especially in women, they should go towards androgens and give you all these benefits that men are getting from androgens, but they're just as important for women as well. You know, muscle tone, bone health, like you know, sexual function, cognitive function, mood, all these things. Yeah. So if thyroid is low, taking you know more of these precursors or testosterone may or may not help, but definitely not for all symptoms. And sometimes it may make situation worse if they elevate estrogen too much.
I'm curious about cortisol.
Whether it, I don't think you're overproducing cortisol because otherwise you'd have shown here. And there are several studies showing that hair is really sensitive to diagnosing like hypercortisol conditions like Cushing disease. In fact, much more reliable than blood. Because sometimes there are people with so-called periodic Cushing. Like they have like a tumor on their adrenal gland, but it's called incidentaloma, which means it only produces cortisol when you're under stress, right? So when you're under stress, it's going to produce too much cortisol. If the doctor happens to catch it at that moment, may or may not diagnose you with Cushing. But as soon as the stress goes away, you go back to like slightly elevated cortisol, but not something that the doctor will consider sufficient to give you a Cushing diagnosis. But you can see that on the long-term test, such as hair, because these spikes of cortisol are going to add up. And when you average them over like all of these days that we've been testing, we should be seeing above normal. So that's why the cortisol thing is good, because if it's above range, even a minor above range, because it's such a long period of time, it represents that at some point you definitely had issues, serious issues with cortisol.
And so that was another thought, was like, if you have had ongoing elevated cortisol and then, you take these hormones, is it converting progesterone to cortisol? Is it like just pushing them into tissues because it's too busy working on this cortisol issue, the inflammation in the tissues or whatever? I don't know. That's where I was wondering about, why these hormones aren't getting utilized, but then the thyroid makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think your cortisol is fine. I think you have estrogen problem, to be honest. So basically, and that is a classic symptom in both males and females when thyroid is low. Men start developing men boobs. You know, like they lose their libido. They're basically you know depressed also. High estrogen is much stronger depressant in males than it is in females. And of course, the doctors you know try to cure it with because and then also their testosterone is low because that actually suppresses the production of testosterone. So doctors see low T and say, "Oh, let's give you more T." Yeah, but with low thyroid, you just fed the estrogen pathway, and then you know the only way to kind of like avoid that is and it's very risky. Some you know bodybuilders do it. They inject massive amounts of testosterone, and in higher doses, testosterone can act as aromatase inhibitor. So it can kind of They can kind of push through that, but if they have low thyroid, they're still at risk of if they lower the dosage or they stop, God forbid, stop their TRT, they're in a worse situation because as their testosterone levels start declining, they're going to go more towards estrogen because now testosterone is not high enough to inhibit the conversion into estrogen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. So then
Yes.
B1 is low. It looks like estradiol. It's a terrible copy. I
Yeah,
don't know
okay,
why
so
he's.
estrone is low, but the estradiol and estriol are in range.
Which is interesting because let me tell you this. They've never been in range. Of course, I've never done 24-hour urine though. But I started the pro-metabolic lifestyle thing, and I've been working out on Kitty Bloomfield's 16-week program. I've got like 3 weeks left, and I've been working weights 3 days a week, and I've been counting my macros. I mean, it's been like hardcore, and I've never done that my whole life. And I have just gained like an inch on my thighs and my butt, and like everything is going really well. And all of a sudden, my Dutch as well. It's still really low, but it was like actually in a little bit making some more hormones. But that was just the last 16 weeks, which is when I did have these tests taken. So I'm shocked to see any estrogen at all.
Yeah, but then again, this is a 24-hour one, and it's difficult to compare because our test is like a 3-month
Exactly.
span of time. Let
Yeah.
me see the blood. So testosterone is also low. 5-alpha androstenedione diol is low. So that's basically the Dutch test, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, are you looking at the there's the ZRT?
It says 24-hour urine 8:22:23.
Okay, that's the 24-hour urine, and then the ZRT is a blood spot.
Okay. See the they tested free T4 and the free T4 was low, while the free T3 is barely above the lower end of normal. So we're kind of matching that.
But it, that's in
And
circ that's blood
hyperprogesterone.
spot, so that means that's in circulation. I have the symptoms of none of these hormones. I mean,
For some
that's
reason, well, I mean, circulation is just a transport mechanism. It does not show you what's inside the cell, which I think the hair does. And in the hair, basically, because it is composed, it used to be cells, right? So it's just dead cells now.
yeah.
And that's what they, so the hair is kind of a combination of what was in the blood plus whatever the cell synthesized itself. So it can accumulate from the blood, can also synthesize steroids on its own. Every cell in the body can synthesize estrogens, every single one. So
Wow.
basically, yeah. So if estradiol is high in hair, I think there's very little doubt that there is an estrogen excess. The good news is that progesterone is also very high because of supplementation. So you're blocking most of the effects of the estrogen, but in order for it to actually drop in hair, thyroid needs to be addressed. Progesterone is not going to fix it by itself.
Okay, that's obviously the issue here, which is pretty fascinating. I mean, that's stuff that you guys have always known,
Yeah, straight
but
up repeat stuff that he's been saying for years. But
yeah.
that's why I like these tests so much because they're kind of like, and the very reason I started dabbling into this is that, I wanted to see kind of test his, see like if he's saying, oh, yeah, your blood levels show low estrogen, that doesn't mean anything. What's going on inside the cell? We did the blood spot and just opened the blood serum. Okay, lipid panel, some of them are high. That's okay, it's not that high. But it's consistent with low thyroid. That's actually the one of the most reliable symptoms of low thyroid is elevated cholesterol.
Can you believe that that's actually lower than it was since I started Kitty's program? All these numbers are coming into
Are
range
lower.
now. Yeah, or I
Well,
shouldn't say into range. They're
yeah.
lower. My triglycerides are higher than they've ever been, and that's freaky. And I'm guessing that's a liver thing.
No, it means you have a stress and chronic elevated lipolysis. So
So
something
it's
like
letting free fatty
niacinamide or
acids
aspirin
into the.
maybe in order. And by the way, the triglycerides are harmless. I know doctors look at them as if they're the devil, but it's the free fatty acids that really, really damage you. Triglycerides are actually deactivated free acids. They've been converted to triglycerides, and they're neutral in that form, and they're basically used for storage. The body cannot store free fatty acids. It has to convert into triglycerides first. So the Yeah, elevated triglycerides means there is an oversupply of fat from somewhere, whether diet or from lipolysis, and it's usually the latter because I know people on low-fat diet that are actually still having. And the elevated lipolysis is very direct result of estrogen, probably the strongest enhancer of lipolysis, together with adrenaline and cortisol. But your cortisol is fine, so estrogen itself is a very strong enhancer of lipolysis.
Wow.
Oh, the free fatty acids? I mean, triglycerides are fine, but it's better to have high triglycerides. So another test that you can do is called NEFA, NEFA, non-esterified fatty acids.
Okay.
So they can check them in your blood, and usually the triglycerides are high, so are the NEFAs. But it's the NEFAs that are really dangerous. They damage directly the organs. And a few studies just came out, again, confirming race, showing that the diabetic kidney damage or heart damage or liver damage is all due to the non-esterified fatty acids. And
Okay.
if you find a way to lower those by taking niacinamide or aspirin or whatnot, diabetes becomes an essentially non-damaging condition. It's really a fat disease, not sugar disease. So let me see. So total testosterone here is low. So that's something that's kind of like the opposite of what we have.
Yeah.
The hydrotestosterone is low, which matches ours. In our test, is undetectable. DHA sulfate is kind of like middle of the range. And then regular unsulfated DHEA is, bottom 25th percentile. TSH is 1.7. Yeah, you're right. Prolactin is 7.1, which is good. And estradiol, basically, it's low. Yeah.
And this is all on the same day, except for your test. All on the same day.
But it does match what the Chinese study, I think, that the one that I sent you, you asked me about the email, and they kind of had the same results. They even mentioned it, that basically the blood tests are, when they started testing here, they saw these things. Estrogen did not decline with menopause, kind of stayed slight. There was even a slight increase. GGT is fine. Progesterone, I guess low, or like on the very bottom of the normal. Essentially, they call it postmenopausal is in the range of 0 to 0.1, and you're at 0.1. But in your hair, it's actually very, very high, which is good news because means it's in your tissues, right?
Affecting me from the estrogen going rogue.
Exactly. But, in order to really solve the issue, is that it has to be addressed.
Yeah.
Estrogen is, let me see.
I mean, this person, this doctor who I'm supposed to see, I'm not going to see this one because he's conventional regenerative sports medicine person. And he's going to be like, we need to get you on estrogen, and I'm going to have to sit there and explain to him and all the things he's going to want to put me on, except for thyroid,
Yeah. I mean, you can show him this and say, listen, you don't get to have all three major estrogens elevated in hair unless at some point, and actually probably for an extended period of time, my estrogens in the blood or in the tissues were elevated. I mean, we're not talking about, minor elevation. If you look at your estradiol in hair, it's basically exactly two orders of magnitude above the upper limit of normal. Upper limit of normal is 1.71. Yours is 172. So if you multiply 1.71 by 100, you're getting 171. So you have 100 times higher in hair estradiol than the normal range. So wow. Even he or she, the doctor, whoever that is, should look at that and say, these are not minor elevations. I mean, your estriol is about 30 times higher or 35 times higher than the upper limit. Estrone is the only one that's still high, but it's only, I don't know, 2-3 times higher than the upper limit. If you can get me some more samples that we compare for people that have, the doctors are kind of stumped. It's like, oh, I don't know what's going on with you. Maybe you need estrogen. And we can do a few more tests and show them that it's the exact opposite. Maybe you'll get people talking. Or maybe you'll get the doctors aggravated and they'll go after me.
Right. So you're saying do more, like what, nail samples or?
Well, hair is better because the thyroid testing turned out to work well only in hair.
So
we can do it in nails, but a lot of times nothing comes out of nails in terms of thyroid. They're very tough, and the process of grinding them into fine powder and extracting it, I think, either damages a lot of the thyroid that's there, so there's nothing left to extract. The hair is much easier, and it's, so far we're getting almost like 100% recovery for thyroid. If you look at the DF frequency, like the column. For thyroid hormones, we're getting 96% for T4 and T3, which means we can detect it in 96% of the samples for hair.
So you're just saying do it again, just duplicate or do the test again to prove that it wasn't a fluke.
Oh no, I don't think it's a fluke because we behind the scenes we're doing three separate tests with your sample and averaging the results. So okay. I was saying if you know other people who are having kind of the similar issues, the doctor's like, no, you need estrogen, or like, your cortisol is low or something like that, we can do another test and kind of like show that it's probably the exact opposite.
I was talking to Constantine and he's like, why aren't you going to take T4? And I said, because clearly I'm having liver issues and I'm not be able to convert it anyway. So why should I? And he's like, I don't think anybody would recommend that you take T3 by itself. And so I'm about to just self-medicate. And so,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. To be honest, I'll send you the study that showed that how people felt, and what they did was a much better predictor of their long-term, welfare than what the doctor said.
Yeah. How do you feel about just dosing T3 and not T4?
You can do it, but it has to be done on a very regular basis, and you got to watch your symptoms and temperature because the T3 will lose effects depending on the dosage. First of all, don't overdose it, because if you do, then it gets immediately deactivated into like T2 and T1. Body is very sensitive to regulating T3 levels because that's the active hormone.
Okay.
So if you take, let's say, like, you should, each dosage should be no more than, I don't know, 10 micrograms, but even that may be too high. So 5 micrograms every 2 or 3 hours is what usually works.
Okay.
The problem with this regimen is that you let's say you take it during the day every 2 or 3 hours, but at night you have an extended period of time where you're not taking it. You know, unless you feel like waking up twice in that night and taking that 5 microgram dosage. I think what Ray used to do is he took T3 when he was really hypothyroid, took T3 only during the day, and then at night took a T4 T3 combo.
Like a glandular, like Thyrovans or something.
Armor at the time, he said Armor thyroid was fine. It wasn't adulterated, so he was taking Armor.
Okay, so I should. So maybe that's what I can do. I'll take a glandular at night, and then okay. Yeah, because that's like kind of like the missing piece. It's the although what does the blood lab say about my T? Oh, it says it's normal, right? My thyroid.
Your blood lab says that the thyroid, T3 is in range, TSH is in range, but they're measuring. You see, that's the thing though. Can you go back to that lab? Because now I see that, and I see it on many labs, and it's pissing me off. They're measuring the free levels of the thyroid, but we don't know. We don't want free. We want total. And most labs will do free unless you really tell them total. And just like the testosterone, for a lot of men, they measure free testosterone, and that's BS. That's bullshit. You need total because that's what's showing how well the gland is working. And it's very possible, in fact, very common to have normal free levels of the hormone, but low total levels. The reason this happens is because when the body perceives that it has a deficiency, it increases the levels of the free one to increase its effects. But that's not saving you from the fact that you're not producing sufficient amounts of that. And only the total measurements actually does that. So total testosterone, which they did total and free. And you can call the lab and ask them to redo the test and do both again, total and free. And now we can see, especially if the total comes back lower, then I think the doctor will probably, is not going to argue with you that there is a thyroid issue.
Yeah, because it'd be nice to be able to show all of these doctors what the commonality with all these tests is, which is
thyroid. They wouldn't care, but at least they'll take you seriously, in fact, in regards to the thyroid thing. And maybe Cytoplus.
I mean, a couple of them were like, what? You took all these tests and you know, arranged them on the same day and did, and they were like, that's pretty cool. But then
that's good.
Like, yeah. A doctor
I've heard worse. Was like, they told me like, are you insane? Like, why would you do this thing that it's not even your specialty and you do all these tests? They almost felt kind of like threatened that you've taken health matters into your own hands because you know, that's their profession, you know?
That I care. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of other results that are like yours that women and men, like the doctor said, no, you know, I know your estrogen is low, you're menopausal, and then we're doing hair or nail and comes back sky high. And they're like, what the hell? How can it get there? So maybe, you know, it's sitting there as reserves or is, you know, being excreted.
Yeah. Well,
then if it was only being excreted, why isn't it excreted in urine? Why isn't it excreted in blood? You know, we should be seeing these elevations in other methods for excretion, which the blood and the urine are, and sweat. But we're not seeing them, which means this thing is accumulating in cells. And the only way it's coming out of there is when you have dead cells outgrowing and coming out of the body in the form of hair or nail, then we can see it. But the hair and nail used to be living cell. So these cells, when there, now the only question the only argument they may come back with is like, well, this is localized. Maybe you had high estrogen levels in your follicles, or high estrogen levels in the collagen and the collagen matrix that becomes the nail, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have high estrogen elsewhere. And that's a question that we haven't answered yet. Like I mentioned before, we want to do biopsies. And if the biopsies in some organs come back is also elevated and with good correlation with nail and hair, then it's game over.
I'm happy to volunteer for such a thing. I know it's invasive, but I don't know what they would be taking samples of, but I'm in.
Ask them for like a surface skin sample, which is not very painful. Actually, it's not even painful. We can ask them for a biopsy of like oral mucosa. So they'll just do some scraping on the inside of your cheeks.
Oh.
And it's not even invasive. It's just like they actually do this to do some kinds to when they collect DNA information. Like if you for paternity tests or whatnot, they would actually do a cheek swab.
Oh, I do that for the 23andMe.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. So that thing actually collects tissue, because in order for them to extract DNA, there must be cells in there. So if you find a lab that is willing to do a hormonal analysis of a cheek swab, we're perfect. We're golden.
That's so cool. Okay, I'll look into that. And what about, because I was going to say, is the hair a reflection of like, you know, organs and other tissues, breast tissue? That was going to be my
question. I think it is. I mean, we are seeing, I mean, just as the Chinese people said, and I've seen in like, it's known without a doubt that women with any kind of a reproductive tissue, even or breast cancer specifically, that they have very high levels of estrogen in those tissues. But medicine has been getting away with the argument that, well, that's tissue localized. In the rest, in the other tissues, it's low. And how do we know it's low? Well, because in blood, it's low. Yeah, but the other tissues can produce it themselves, right?
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that, right? So
yeah.
Why would hair be high? Because there's nothing that estrogen does for hair. The only way for this to be high is that there must have been a combination of either or, maybe both, of either high estrogen level in blood throughout that period, not always, but like specific spikes, combined with localized increased synthesis of estrogen in order for estrogen to be, again, we're not talking about minor elevations. This is like 100 times higher estradiol than where it should be. It can only, it cannot be a localized, you know, elevated hyperestrogenemia, as they call it.
Yeah. Interesting.
And if we do it in nails, because the nails and hair are so far removed, and if we get nails and also show elevated estrogen there, then I think the doctors, well, of course, they're going to come up with some stupid argument. But in my book, it's a done deal, because such tissues with such big distance between them, if both are showing elevated estrogen, I don't have any reason to think that any tissue in between is not also high in estrogen.
Yeah. And also symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
these women are having histamine, and they're having, you know, like dense breast tissue. And of course, probably you're going to hear these doctors say, well, that's the lack of.
I mean, they will admit it after, if there's like a cancer diagnosis. And actually now they started admitting it even in a triple negative breast cancer, which is hormone insensitive. Even in those women, if you look at, take a sample of the breast tissue, they actually stopped doing the hormone analysis because they started finding the high estrogen, which kind of contradicts the theory that this cancer is not driven by estrogen.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That
but,
is
but
really.
There are all the studies. I mean, I can send you studies that show that triple negative breast cancer is also characterized with very high levels of estrogen in the surrounding.
Yeah. Send me that triple negative one. I mean, we have so many women in the group with breast cancer who are like, you know, also talking about positive, you know, estrogen receptor positive and progesterone receptor positive. And we're suggesting that, and I do have a paper on that, that's saying, well, maybe the progesterone receptors are there to help like catabolize or break down the masses. And so,
yeah.
I mean, that makes the most sense really. But, so this is super fascinating. So yeah. So parathyroid was 20 and that was it, everything else. And that's good, right? That's really good.
I think it's good, yeah, because in most people, I'm seeing 40 or above.
Okay. And I've always had soup. My nails grow fast. And I'm thinking, like, my body is just, like, excreting all these. I don't know why. You'd think
the high testosterone increases the growth of both hair and nails.
That's nuts. Okay, so if I end up taking thyroid, am I going to lose my hair?
No, it's going to keep growing because it also stimulates that growth. But, yeah, I mean, because I've taken... Yeah, if you like, once we do this and get, you know, maybe the doctor's partially on board, you know, you can feel free to tell your group that, you know, we can do. I think the best thing is, as a start, to do a thyroid test on anybody who has any kind of symptoms that they don't like.
Yeah.
It's also cheaper. And also, like, if the thyroid is there, they may not even need to do the other tests, because that was sufficient for the doctor to prescribe thyroid, maybe, hopefully. Or at least investigate further, because all the other derangement that you're seeing with all the other downstream hormones, they're all downstream from thyroid. So if we can start with a simple test, which is just the three thyroid hormones, and if that comes back abnormal, the doctor has something to work with, and hopefully when they get on thyroid, they feel fine. They don't need to do any other testing, except maybe twice a year with hair, they can do the thyroid, and it can give me a basically a 3-inch long hair clump, and that's going to cover the 6 months. So basically twice a year, 3 inch long, and then we're going to tell them basically how their thyroid has been over the entire year.
Okay. And so your thyroid, the only thyroid tests that you would say people need to get, because this craziness with the free, with the...
Oh, no.
Okay, so
thyroid,
what?
Basically, you want the total thyroid, total T4 and total T3. Because the free ones depend on something called thyroglobulin, which is like a protein that carries thyroid hormones in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And if thyroglobulin is low, you're going to have elevated T4 and T3, even though your total T4 and T3 can be also very, very low. So you can be very, very hypothyroid with high T4 and high free T4 and high free T3. But if you check the total ones, that's usually the measurement that kind of tells you how your thyroid is working.
How did it get so convoluted? So, and then reverse T3, do you care about
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that one's the
I think
expensive
they
one.
only have one test for that. That's the total one. I don't think they have a free one.
Okay. So, Alyssa, woman in the group is going to go get her thyroid tested, and she needs to say total T4, total T3, and
yep.
reverse T3.
And reverse T3, yeah. Plus the TSH. So that thing, that those four things kind of like, you know, tell you what's going on with your thyroid.
Yeah. Do you want
but
to give
again,
me those?
If core temperature is low, if heart rate is below 85, even after eating, you cannot have normal thyroids. I mean,
yeah.
There's got to be some deregulation there.
And then one last thing, you want to give me those, what a good total T4 is.
Oh, I haven't seen the range, but you wanted both of the B to be in the upper 25th percentile.
Okay.
So 4:1 or lower, in other words, T4 to T3, 4:1 or lower, which means you're converting more towards T3, is a good sign.
Okay.
Anything higher than 4:1, then maybe even 5:1 will be the upper limit. Anything higher than 5:1, chances are you're not converting properly in the liver. And in such cases, we'll probably be seeing elevated reverse T3, which comes from excess T4.
Okay. And then with the oral biopsy of the mucosa, what, I guess I can talk to pharmacist Carol about this, but what would you, like if I, or probably, doc, I don't know, get one of these doctors to request that, or do you think it's something I could order on request a test?
I don't know, because I mean, given the 23andMe certainly does tissue analysis because that's how they extract the DNA, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah
I know it's done. I just don't know which lab does it. I'm pretty sure LabCorp and Quest can do it and probably
okay.
do it, but I don't know if it's something that can be ordered directly or a doctor has to ask for it. Because when a woman goes to the, you know, to the doctor, and the doctor orders tissue biopsy for a breast, let's say, that tissue goes somewhere after that. I'm pretty sure it's LabCorp and Quest, so they
okay.
can do it. It's just the doctor needs to order it.
And then they're asking for a biopsy of oral mucosa, looking for what? Like, what are they, or do they ask that?
Oh, just a steroid analysis, basically
steroid
hormonal
analysis.
Profile of cells, of cellular material acquired from the oral mucosa.
Okay, a profile of. Okay, cool. We'll talk
right.
to you soon. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, everyone. God, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That was such an eye-opening experience to partake in that little experiment and have Georgie as my wingman on that. I wanted to reiterate a few things. First of all, just as a reminder, Georgie does not read labs. You cannot hire Georgie to do any kind of lab reading. He just offers the labs and has them completed. On his website, he has some recommendations of practitioners who do read these labs. So there's that. And yeah, that this was just meant for informational purposes. It was a technical discussion. It was not meant to diagnose, cure, tell you to forego other labs and do these labs instead. It was nothing like that. So I just want to make that very clear. And I want to kind of do a quick recap of just the idea that a few things happened with this experiment. Not only did I find out that through actual consistent weightlifting and eating in a pro-metabolic way for me and the walking of the 10,000 steps, I, you know, lost belly fat. I actually gained weight, muscle weight, but I also boosted my metabolism, supported my thyroid, and I was able to actually start to produce my own hormones. And I'm again a 4 months into menopause, so a year without a cycle and 4 months into menopause. This is incredibly great news for those of you who are in my situation as well, who are coming up on menopause and in perimenopause. And I made a mistake in saying that I had always had low levels of hormones. Earlier on in the podcast, I did not. I've always been extremely estrogen dominant with very low progesterone and very low testosterone. So I've always had very crazy estrogen. It wasn't until late in perimenopause, the beginning of menopause, when I started to, my estrogen started to retreat into tissues. So there you have it. And let's see, I wanted to also mention, how about the whole linchpin here, which is the thyroid. It is the thyroid that is your metabolic gauge. Your thyroid has to be producing thyroid hormone, and then you have to be converting that into usable hormone in the liver. And if you are running on emergency hormones, this is not happening. And that was me my whole life. And so what, working out does is it at this level, this slow, heavy, consistent level, and eating properly, is it shifts you out of emergency hormones and into thyroid and your regular metabolic machine, which is utilizing your glucose, utilizing your hormones for what they're meant to be used for, and not to be running on emergency hormones the whole time. So I hope that that was all clear to you. I'm sure there's loads of questions. Please send them to me. I'm happy to answer questions, especially in the group. If you're not in the group, please join us on Estrogen Dominance Support Group on Facebook. Also, my website has been completely revamped. It's super cute, super fresh, really minimalized, minimal concept, super, super awesome. And I have changed my platform from offering my services as the Dutch test. I'm not going to be offering the Dutch lab any longer. But if you go onto my website, which is www.healthygutgirl.com, you're going to see the gut and hormone rehab program. And if you click on that, it explains exactly how I'll be working. I am happy to interpret your Dutch labs, but I'm offering my gut and hormone rehab program to everyone, whether you have labs or not. And it's an online program that I create for you based on your new client form that you fill out for me and any labs that you might have, preferably the Dutch, but I'm happy to look at other labs. I don't diagnose off of labs at all. So just to make that clear. But if you have any questions, I have a frequently asked question page on there. Everything is on there. And of course, I'm offering the Estrogen Dominance Support Group coupon, which is ED100. That means $100 off the program, guys. And if you need to get the Dutch, all of that information is also on that page. So make sure you check it out. I've also completely revamped my products recommendation page, which is a big deal because so many people like Just Thrive stopped offering their 20% coupon to me. And instead, they're doing like coupons weekly and these different kinds of things that I don't have time to keep up with. So instead, I've switched over to Microbiome Labs, who gives you an automatic 15%. And they have a lot of exact products as Just Thrive, and then they also have some that Just Thrive does not have. And they are a nutraceutical, so you have to be registered as my client in order to use them or to purchase them. And they also offer something that Just Thrive doesn't have, which is a vaginal biome test and a microbiome test. So two labs that I'll be happy to look at if you were to purchase and take either of those labs. You can include that when you book with me for your interpretation and your gut and hormone rehab program. I hope that all made sense. You do get that 15% discount in as my client. So, okay, friends, I there's still more to come with all of this because I am waiting for the nail lab to come back, and then we're also going to try to get a buccal, right? Buccal, is that the word? Basically an oral swab. But I was like asking Georgie if there's any way to get a fat test analysis, steroid analysis, because that would answer a lot of questions. Because we know now that progesterone is in tissues. Is it collecting there randomly? I don't think so. We think it's there to help oppose the estrogen that's in the tissues. But is there actually progesterone collecting in fat tissue, like in adipose tissue and stuff like that? Which there's never been a lab done that shows that we're aware of, or no study done on it. So that would answer a lot of questions. But as far as we know, it does not. But we, after these this and steroid analysis, we tissue analysis we did with Georgie, from what he said, he basically said, if you recall, that if your hair down to your fingernails has estrogen and other hormones in them, why wouldn't everything in between, including your organs and your fat? And we know estrogen is in adipose, and we know cortisol is in adipose, so why wouldn't progesterone be there? But again, is it there wreaking havoc, causing problems? No. I think it's there to do its job, which is to oppose estrogen. Okay, friends, I hope this was also useful and helpful. And again, everything is in the show notes. So if you need to take some of these tests yourself or whatever, please check it all out. And thank you so much.